mind. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." That sounds pretty good. Amen?
Amen?
She says, "How will this be," Mary asked, "since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Does that sound good? Come on now. Nothing is impossible with God. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we got challenges all around us, Lord. We got rain in San Diego. We are paralyzed. But Lord, there is a paralysis that comes to our lives. Independent of rain, independent of consequences, it comes from our hearts, Lord. Lord, we give you praise this morning. Lord, I pray that you would come amongst us. And we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I hear some little voices out there, and that is fine. If those little voices get to be louder voices, I'm going to invite you to take those voices over there into the overflow. You can hear me, and they can be as loud as they want to be. Amen? All right, let's see. Christmas Choices is the title today. I have a question for you. Have you got your gifts? How many of you have all of your Christmas shopping completed? Take me down a little bit there, bro. Kick the vocal mics down. There you go. That'll help me, yeah. How many have all of your gifts done? Sharon, Gail, Shanyetta, Jean. All right. How many of you have none of your shopping done? Oh, my. Oh, my. Look at this. Well, historically, see, I have not completed all my shopping. Historically, though, I buy one gift, and Lisa buys all the rest, and I haven't got that gift yet. Last year, I did something new. I grabbed Leanne, and I said, "Let's go get your mom some stuff." And she's like, "Yeah, you know, let's go to the mall." She's like, you know, ripping through 50 different stores. And she's like, "Yeah, we can go here and go here and go here." I go, No. This is man shopping, Leanne. We go to one store. We'll be there 10 minutes and buy everything you want. Buy extra. What we don't want, we'll bring back. And so she learned a new way to shop. And she goes, "It's amazing how fast we can get in and out of this store." It's like, yeah. And then we got Joe, and Joe gets in line while we're shopping. And he's like the little time clock. When he's at the lady, we're done. It's like, come on, bring it in. We're not going to stand in line. Now, one thing I noticed about Leanne is that she buys different things for Lisa than Lisa buys for Lisa. And her choices, uh-oh, this is scary. She's right in the front row. I got a couple of Lisa things going on today. The choices that Leanne makes are a display of where she is at. The choices that Leanne makes are a display of her values. Title today, Christmas Choices. And it is Christmas time. You guys can go right downstairs. Except one, you can stay up today, bro. Story we read today, you know, hey, it is Christmas time. We've got Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and we got no room at the inn, and we got all that stuff. Today we read about Mary and Gabriel, and we read about the first Christmas, and we read about, realistically, the first Christmas choice. God is ready to do something in Mary, and Mary is positioned to be used by God. She is positioned to participate in the plans of God in her life. But she still has to say yes or no. And we all have to respond yes or no. And our choices, when God approaches us, will define us. Mary's choice, yes or no to Gabriel, defined her. Now Mary, as we read, is going to say yes. There are those who say no. The gospel is full of people who say no to Jesus. And those choices will define them. Your choices define you. Today we're going to take a look at Christmas choices. Who is coughing over there, by the way? Who is that? Put your hand up. Is that Esperanza? And Claudia, you're sick too? All right, here we go. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, wellness, Lord, through our church. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, your healing touch. Lord, you said by your stripes, we are healed. Lord, we come to you on Christmas, Lord. And we submit ourselves to you, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, we look for healing that would come from on high, Lord. And I pray for these two ladies, healing. I pray for the rest in this room, protection, Lord. We pray an anointing upon our time. Yes. Amen. Is that okay? We pray for healing. Amen? 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 Come on now. Amen. All right, here we go. All right. Mary is approached by God. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Hey, everybody's heard of Nazareth. Town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Wouldn't you love somebody to show up to you and say, "The Lord is with you"? Yes. It's manifest in your life. Mary is living the favored life. Are you living the favored life? Hello, am I just talking to me? Are you living the favored life? Is the Lord with you today? Mary was a virgin. Now, it's kind of a revealing title. You know? I mean, kind of personal. And we can ask ourselves a question. I'll ask you a rhetorical question. I'll just ask you a question for discussion. If she was not a virgin, would it have made a difference? Who said yes? Yeah. Now, it was prophesied that would Jesus have been born of a virgin 600 years before by the prophet Isaiah. But more than that, why would it make a difference? It makes a difference because God's word clearly states that sexual activity outside of marriage is a sin. And that choice, had she made that choice, would have been a display of her values. Our choices define us. Especially when it comes to the area of sexual sin. We all make choices. Sin is not confined to just sexual immorality. We also got drugs and alcohol and crime and all kinds of stuff. Sexual sin is all about I want what I want when I want it. I'll go my own way. And that choice has consequences. That choice defines you. And today I want to let you know that God chooses people whose choices line up on Him, whose lives line up on Him. That's why He picked Mary. When you get people that are just worried about what they want, they're selfish people. And you can choose to be involved with people like that. And what the Lord says is, hey, you can do better than that. Because when you were involved in a relationship with somebody else that is worried about themselves and their needs and their desires, God says you can do better than this. Because you're involved with somebody who's entirely concerned with themselves. God describes a relationship. Are we okay today?
Yes.
I know Sandra's okay. God describes a relationship between a man and a woman as one flesh. That a man would care for his wife as he cares for his own body. Now that is a relationship that is based on sacrifice. Wow. Can I get a witness on that? That is a relationship that is based on commitment that lasts a lifetime. And we got too many men who want women to care for their bodies without any commitment at all. God says, you can do better than that. God says, I got a better plan for you than that. God says, I tell you what, you pick somebody who's lined up on me, and you'll do better for you. Come on, Sandra. I just beat me and you having church. All right. I can go God's way or I can go my way. What choice do you make? All right. B, God's plans can be a little bit overwhelming. Can I get a witness on that part? Amen. It's like, whoa, hey, getting a little intimate here, Lord. Hey, a pastor, but I'll tell you what, we got some intimate stuff we're talking about here. Can I talk about the Bible today?
Yes.
All right. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Mary was troubled. Not just troubled, she was deeply troubled. I got to imagine, if an angel showed up to talk to you, you'd be tripping a little bit. I got to think, if the angel Gabriel showed up right here in front, half of you would be running for the door. It's like, whoa, what is going on here? You know the feeling? The feeling when you see that in your back window, whoa, what's going on here? You got a police light, and what do? Now, some of you guys have lived lives of crime, and every time you see a cop, you're afraid. But some of us have come out of those lives. And the first thing that you do is when you see that cop behind you, what do? I look at my speedometer. I'm good. And you know, you get that feeling when he just goes ripping right on by. Woo! All right? That's what Mary's talking about, right? Mary's got that feeling. Whoa! What did I do? You know, angel is here. An angel is here. Never seen an angel before. What is going on? Can you understand why she might be a little bit troubled? Amen. It's like, whoa, God's making a house call. And Gabriel says, God, you're okay. He says, number one, he says, you're okay. Don't be afraid. You're favored by God. And he says, God's going to make some changes. He's going to transform your life. And if you let him, he's going to transform the lives of the people around you. He's going to use you in an incredible way to accomplish this. And this for Mary, I think this for anybody, is a life-changing moment. And how she responds, the choices that she makes will define her. Choices we make define us. I remember the summer of 1992. And maybe this is why Lisa's sitting in the front row.
Not purposely?
Oh. I had to ask her what year this was. Anyway, it was the summer. I went to Bible college for 2 years. And it was the summer in between as an intern at Capital Christian Center. And I had in Sacramento. And I had left to go to Bible college in Santa Cruz. It's about, I don't know, an hour and a half away. And I went, and I tell you, I met Lisa like a week before I left. And I was going to Bible college to find my wife. And I got there, and they were all, I was like 30. They were all like 18. It was a funky thing. But Lisa came to visit her friend a couple of times. I knew she was really coming to visit me. She'll still not admit to that, but she can't totally. It's taken, been married how long? 18 years? No. 17 years. She finally is starting to admit that. But so I knew. I come back, and it's summer, and I'm working at the church, and Lisa and I kind of got this little thing going on, right? And it gets solidified going to the fine little thing. It was like I was interested in her, and she was interested in me, and I never kissed her or anything like that yet, but, you know. So anyway, we had this little thing going on. That's what I mean by thing, okay? And are you guys okay with thing?
Yes.
All right, you got it? Okay, you're going now. Get along with the story. Let's go. So anyway, we're going to go on a mission trip to Mexico, which is where we kind of got a little bit more solidified. But going to that trip, I was in charge of getting all the T-shirts printed up. And the girl, Terry, I'm making up her name because I couldn't really remember her name. She's that huge in my life. But she was working at the T-shirt place, and she was kind of cute, and we were kind of doing this little flirty kind of thing. You know, I mean, I was a Bible college guy working at a church, so when I talk about flirty, it's like, hi, how are you? You know, we're talking about shirts and stuff, right? And she was cute, and she was fun, and I could tell that my summer could be spent there, right? And I could also tell that it wasn't going to go anywhere beyond this summer. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Did you have lots of hair then?
I had tons of hair, bro. And I was buff, dude. I was running like 3 miles a day. You know, Thomas, we're going to come and shave your head one of these days. You're going to fit in the rest of this church. Hey, Ricky. Bald is beautiful, right, baby? There you go, man. There you go. Hey, you're in the minority here, Thomas. You better just watch it. We got a chromy church here. All right. A lot of skin, a lot of oil happening. But anyway, back to the story. So then I got the little cutesy. She's a divorcee, had a couple of kids, and then there's Lisa. And I could tell that, I mean, I could tell there was something that could happen with Lisa. And there was a threat because of that. Now, I could choose to be safe and superficial and spend the summer with Terry, or I could choose to go to the danger zone. I mean, can you imagine Mary? Hey, God wants to do this great big thing in you. And she's like going, what do I do? And I told Lisa about this girl, Terry, about the great sacrifice I had made. Or not sacrifice, I guess the great choice that I had made. And she's like, buddy, what do you think, you're doing me a favor here, you know? What do I got to, you know?
I didn't say it like that.
But that's what she was thinking. And I'm thinking, no, man, here I am. I am making this lifelong commitment right now. This choice is defining me. And she didn't get it. Do you guys get it?
Yes.
You can see 18 years down the road, it defined me. Now I got kids, I got all that kind of stuff. See, Christmas choices, your choices that you make define you. They show what's inside, and they take what's inside and bring it to actuality. Okay? Point number two. Gabriel's talking about something big. You're going to be with child. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to give him the name of Jesus. He'll be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be, she asked him, since I am a virgin? And Mary is getting the big picture here, folks. You would think she would be smiling. I mean, hey, you're going to have a son. You're engaged. You're going to have a son. His name's going to be Jesus, and he's going to be king. I mean, that'd be like Angel coming to me and Lisa and say, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be president. I mean, we'd be going, woohoo, president. Let's call him something good. It's going to be presidential. We'll call him Roosevelt Metz. You know, Roosevelt Jackson Metz. You know, he's going to be president one day. He's got to have something really good. You know, we'd be celebrating, but Mary's not celebrating. And I don't know that maybe she's got perception. Maybe that's she was chosen for. Maybe there's some stuff that was in the communication that we're not receiving. But something is coming through that Joseph is not going to be in on this. And she's got some massive questions that are going through her mind. And she says, how can this be? I can't make this happen on my own. And I got to let you know today, folks, that if an angel appears to you or the Lord speaks to your heart, that he is never, ever going to ask you to do anything on your own. Amen? If God's going to ask you to do something, he is going to ask you something that you must rely upon him. You're not going to be able to get anything done on your own that's a God-sized thing without relying upon God. We're going to come back to this in a minute. Mary's positioned for participation. Mary is positioned in her life for God to use her. The choices that she had made that had brought her to this point in her life brought her to this choice. And she was positioned to be approached by this angel. Mary was a virgin. And here's that word again, and we ask ourselves again, why is it such a big deal? Why does God make it such a big deal? Now, we got virgin being all over this thing, and I'm going to deal with sexual sin today, okay? Because that's what God wants us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're not involved in sexual sin, you can put your sin here and try and apply all this stuff, okay? Because you can do what you want or you can do what God wants. And there's consequences to that choice every time you make it. Amen? Amen. So why does God make any type of sexual activity outside of marriage a sin? Well, let me tell you what sin is. Sin is falling short of God's plan for you. Amen? Thou shalt not steal. How many of you have been stolen from? Put your hands up. Come on. You've been stolen from. Put your hand up. That's a bummer. Can I get a witness on that? There's harm. There's pain. It's a sin. Anybody not think that stealing is a sin? Not a sin. Stealing shouldn't be a sin. No. Stealing's a sin, man. People get harmed. Thou shalt not murder. The pain and destruction that comes from murder. Of course, murder is a sin. But now, Pastor, sex is not a sin. There's no pain. There's no destruction. And that right there, folks, is a lie that comes straight from the devil. Think of your life. I mean, Santa's been loud all day. Think of your life. And think how much pain and destruction has come from the physical relationships that you have been in. Think of all the relationships that you would, or all the choices that you would undo. I mean, if you had a giant life eraser and you could just go back and erase choices that you could make. That's why God calls it a sin. Because it will mess you up. There are consequences because of premarital sex and extramarital sex. And one of those consequences is children. Some people would ask, is pregnancy a penalty for premarital sex? No. Bible says that children are a reward from God. Amen?
Yes.
So if pregnancy is not a penalty of premarital sex, then what's the penalty? Well, the penalty is often having to raise that child outside of that one flesh relationship that God would create for you and have you be in so that you can raise these children up in a way that you're not climbing so hard. Now, I'll tell you what. I got to think half this church was either raised in a single-parent household or lives in a single-parent household right now. And if I were going to ask you, is it tough? Say, oh, yeah, it's tough. And see, the Lord would say, hey, if you had found somebody that wasn't selfish, that wouldn't just dump you the first time it got rough and leave you with this child or be raised, just think how much better your life would be. Can I get a witness on that? See, now, and I'm not trying to come down on anybody. I'm just saying, we fall short of God's glorious plan for us. Why? Because we make poor choices. Now, our father ain't having it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right, I got some stats for you. U.S. illegitimacy rates. Children born out of wedlock for the year 2005, 36.7% of all children born in 2005, that is one-third, a little bit more than one-third, one in three children was born out of wedlock. Now, somebody's not paying attention to God's desire for their lives. Can I get a witness on that? I can break that down a little bit further. African Americans, 69.5% illegitimacy rate. That's greater than two out of three. Anglo families, 25%, one in four. Latino families, 50% almost, 47.9%. And you say, what does it matter? What does it matter? Bible says 85% of men in our prison system grew up in homes without fathers. And you say there's no pain and there's no destruction. Wrong. Our choices define us. Now, it can be premarital sex, it can be drugs, it can be crime, it can be murder, it can be stealing, it can be all kinds of stuff. But he's saying if you would just listen, I'll spare you from all kinds of pain in your life. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right. We are officially moving on right now. Okay? All right. God provides what is missing. God provides what is missing. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I love that part. Nothing is impossible with God. And God provides what is missing. God provides what is missing. Amen? God can make this happen. Never done it before. God can make this happen. God formed Adam out of dirt, breathed into him, and life came into his body. Amen? God can make anything happen. Hudson Taylor is a missionary founded back in the 1800s, China Inland Missions. He said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Never lack God's supply. You want to have a never-ending supply of God's provision in your life? Do his work. Do his work his way. Make choices that line up your life on him, and you will find God's provision poured out upon you. Amen? Bible says that God is going to do a miracle. He says you're going to, God says to Mary, I'm going to provide what you are lacking. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will be with child. And you will become pregnant. And he says that I know that you can't do this on your own, but with me, you will give birth to the Son of God. Now, how's that for rearranging your day? How's that for rearranging your life? And he says, God is already doing miraculous stuff. Look at Elizabeth. She's an old lady. She was considered barren. When you think of barren, what do you think of? You know them rocks when you go over 8? You know, I don't know what that's called. You go 8 over to El Centro, and there's that section that's just all rocks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? That is barren. Amen? And that was Elizabeth's life. She was barren until God did a miracle in her, and she is with child. She's already in her sixth month, and she is barren no more. And with God doing miracles in your life will be barren no more. You look around here. Thomas has got hair. But Thomas has also got the Holy Ghost. And Thomas is also excited about what God is doing in his life. Amen? And I look around here and I see God doing all kinds of stuff. God is doing miraculous things. Why? Because people's choices. People are choosing to line up on Him. People are choosing to be defined by the Word of God and defined by the Spirit of God, and He would guide you. And they are finding that they are barren no more. Does that sound good? Now, what's the choice? I am the Lord's servant. Are you the Lord's servant?
Amen.
Mary said, may, and this is so huge, may it be to me as you have said. Let it happen just the way you said. You want this book applied to your life? You say to the Lord, Lord, let it happen. Boys, in the back, son, look at me. He says, God is looking for people who say yes. Do you say yes to the Lord? Mary surrenders her life to the Lord. Mary chooses, makes a choice to surrender her body, to surrender her plans, and she submits herself to the Lord. And there is a cost to this choice. She becomes a single mother in a time when single mothers were not permitted, or she becomes pregnant before she's married. And there is a shame that is placed upon her. Joseph would put her away. So I didn't do this. And 30 years go by, and she sees her son crucified on a cross. Choosing to follow the Lord often comes at a great cost. And in all this, she is called blessed among women.
Amen.
She goes through eternity as the Virgin Mary. Because she says what? May it be to me as you have said. Think of the others who responded. Jesus said, follow me. Said, okay. Go through eternity as the Apostle John. Go through eternity as the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. Our choices define us. What's your choice today? How are you defined? See, the Lord would speak to our hearts. Mary was unique in that she gave birth to the Son of God. But to get to that point, to come to that choice, she lived her life with an eye on the Lord. Do you live your life with an eye on the Lord? So you can see it in her choices. She made herself available to God. She was obedient to God. And then she was used by God. My question for you today, are you available to God? Are you obedient to God? What defines you today? What do your choices show about you? Some of you are here today, and you are making great choices. Amen? Some of you are paying a great price. You're going, this is just flat out hard. This is tough. This is challenging. But I wouldn't change it for anything on the planet. Amen?
Amen?
Some of you are in here today and you're thinking, Pastor, I am so far from the Virgin Mary. I can't even relate. My life is in tatters. My choices are bad. One bad choice after another bad choice after another bad choice. But you chose to come here today. And I think the Lord maybe would speak to your heart today and say, you know what? I have some plans for you. I have opportunity for you. You can be new. I'll take your past and put it as far as the east is from the west. Now, you're going to be digging out for a little while. You know about that, Thomas? It takes a while to dig out sometimes. But the thing is, you're digging out. Don't be piling anything more on. Let's start making some good choices. See, your choice, the choice to follow the Lord, the choice to accept God as your Savior, the choice to follow Him, it can define you. Some of you have made that choice and you're moving on, and right now the Lord is speaking to your heart and He's saying, you know what? I know you. We've been traveling together. We've been climbing. You've been dealing with some stuff in your life. But right now, here's this issue you need to deal with. Amen. The next big issue. Amen. And you get the chance to say, all right, Lord, I'm hearing you. May it be in me as you have said. Or you can say, nah, Lord, I'll get to that later. I don't like what this guy's saying. I just want to have some chili dogs downstairs. Let's get down for lunch. You know what? That choice can define you. So as we close, Lisa, come on up here and play something, would you? Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty, Lord. Lord, and we all come, I come from a tattered past, Lord, and you cleansed me. And many of us, Lord, have come from a past, Lord, that is tore up from the floor up. And Lord, you called us out of darkness and into light. You are here this morning. The Lord is speaking to your heart. And He's saying, you know what? Time to make a new choice. Time to be made new. Time to be renewed in your life. Time to leave that past behind. Maybe you're here this morning, you're just thinking, you know what? I'm nowhere near the Virgin Mary. I'm so messed up, Lord. Give me a shot. I won't change. I'll choose you today.